in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter number 10. Ecclesiastes, chapter number 10. We'll read one verse, and I'll give you a quick thought tonight. May the Lord bless the reading of His Word, found in Ecclesiastes chapter number 10. Verse number 8. Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse number 8. He that diggeth a pit shall fall into it. And whoso breaketh a hedge, a serpent shall bite him. Whoso removeth stones shall be hurt therein, and he that cleaveth wood shall be endangered thereby. Father, tonight we thank you for the opportunity to come to the house of God. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to be assembled with brothers and sisters in Christ, the saved, the redeemed. Thank you, Lord, that we can pray and have the opportunity to profess and to tell the world how good you truly have been to us. We thank you for the grace. And Father, we all could say tonight, if it wasn't for your grace, for your mercy, my, where would we be tonight? And God, I pray, Father, now you'd help us. Father, you'd open our eyes and our mind, our heart to the things of God, to the Word of God. Bless the reading of your Word, Father, for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Ecclesiastes chapter number 10. We know that King Solomon, the son of David, chapter 1, verse 1 tells us, King Solomon, or the preacher, the son of David, the king of Jerusalem. So we know this is King Solomon writing this wonderful, wonderful book found in the Old Testament. We know that King Solomon was the wisest of all men, had great wealth, had great riches, had vasts of lands, of servants, of sheep, and had everything that you would want here on this world. But we know that he was the wisest of all men. When he prayed to God, he didn't pray for all those riches, but he prayed for wisdom and guidance to lead God's people. First Kings tells us that his wisdom exceeded all the wise men of the East, and his wisdom exceeded all the wise men of Egypt. What a mighty, mighty wise man King Solomon was. We know King Solomon here in Ecclesiastes, he's looking back on a life that was long and it was full of great experience. He's looking back on his life and reviewing some things that maybe he decided, maybe some things he had thought at the time, but he's looking back and I believe he regrets some of his folly in his earlier years. We see that in chapter number 1, how he talks about vanity and how vanity of the vanities. And Solomon, we know he was blessed of God. Solomon, he was the ruler of God's people in Israel there at Jerusalem. He built the temple of God. He worshiped God. He was used mightily by God. Yet Ecclesiastes, it shows this man full of wisdom, Solomon, the greatest, the wisest of all, lived through the trials and through the temptations of life, and he comes out on the other side a much more wise than he went going in. Through the inspiration of God, we find this text, this small verse here in chapter number 10, verse number 8. He says, "He that diggeth a pit shall fall into it, and whosoever breaketh a hedge, a serpent shall bite him." I want to preach on the thought just a moment tonight. Don't tear down the fence. Don't tear down the fence. Several weeks ago, we had a storm that came through our area there where we live, and it rained and the wind blew heavy at night, and we got up in the morning and there was a large oak tree that had fell down in the backside of our yard, and it was a large, massive tree. It took me and Brother Jason several days to cut it up and to get rid of the brush and to clean up all the mess, but when this large oak tree fell, it tore down about 30 or 40 feet of a privacy fence that blocked the view from our backyard. The landscape, the view had changed once this tree had failed. Once we were looking at that fence on the front side of the fence, but now we can see into the pastures behind us. We can see the cows grazing. We can see some woods there. But what got me thinking about this text, there on the other side of the fence, right next to the fence, there was a great amount of debris. There was a lot of leaves, about 2 to 2.5 feet of leaves that had gathered together. There was thorns, there was briars and sticker bushes there on that side of the fence. On our side of the fence, the yard was mowed, the grass was green, all the leaves were picked up, everything looked nice and pristine. But just on the other side of the fence, just on the other side where that fence had fell, there was a great amount of debris, trash, brush, and debris. Preaching the thought tonight, don't tear down the fence. Verse number 8. The Bible said, whoso breaketh a hedge, a serpent shall bite him. Whoso. Whosoever breaketh, whosoever breaches, whosoever breaks through, whosoever tears down this hedge, a wall, a fence, a serpent shall bite him. We know in Solomon's day, they would use these large rocks. They would use large stones. They would stack them upon each other. They would make this hedge, this rock hedge, this stone fence, this stone wall from these rocks or these large boulders found on the landscape. We read in the Old Testament, some of these hedges were built out of thorns and thistles. They were used to keep the predators and the wild animals from attacking the sheep inside the sheepfold. They were used as an enclosure. They were used as an enclosure to enclose vineyards. These hedges were used to enclose gardens. They were used to enclose orchards. And more importantly, I believe tonight we'll see they're used to enclose the sheep. A sheepfold, a stone hedge, a stone wall that's used to protect the outside from the inside. We see this hedge is a stone hedge, a rock hedge, perhaps a hedge on top with thorns to keep those predators from coming over the top. But we also see in this small text, this verse, by, near, outside, lurking, lying, there's a serpent. Just on the other side of the fence. Just on the other side of this hedge, there's one that's waiting right on the other side of the wall, awaits a serpent. Whoso breaketh a hedge, a serpent shall bite him. Begin to think about this serpent. True to a serpent. True to the ways of this reptile that will stay close to the hedge. The nature of a snake, this cold-blooded reptile, these rocks, these stones would radiate. They would give off warmth, heat, radiate the sunlight. We know these stones would provide a hiding place. These stones, they would provide natural camouflage for this serpent. What a picture this is of Satan and the church. John calls this serpent, that old serpent, which is the devil, Satan. Satan hanging out, Satan hanging around, Satan lurking by, right on the other side of the wall. That's what God has put around us to protect us. Whoso breaketh a hedge, a serpent shall bite him. Let me say tonight, Satan would love to bite. He would love to devour every one of us tonight. He would love to bite and devour this church, our children, our families. He's waiting on the other side, if the hedge is broken down, tore apart, to bite. This hedge, let me say, protects us physically. This hedge protects us spiritually. This hedge protects us emotionally. This hedge protects us financially. This hedge, we'll see, it protects and shelters every aspect of the Christian life. I began to think about Job, this hedge in Job's life. We know how Job had God had put a hedge of about Job in his life and hedged him in and kept him safe and all that he had and all of his family. Listen to Job chapter 1, verse number 7. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "Doeth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made a hedge about him, about his house, and about all he hath on every side? Hast thou not blessed the work of his hands? His substance is increased in the land." Satan's telling God, "I sure love to get to Job. I'd love to go and bite and devour Job. But God, you've put a hedge about him, about his family, and about all he hath." He's saying, you know the story. Once the enemy comes in, that enemy, that hedge is let down, that hedge is breached, and Job's, all of his, the enemy comes, and all of his servants, all of his handmaids, they are killed. Fire, that hedge is breached, destroys all of his sheep and all of his camels. Then Satan comes, and a great wind, perhaps a tornado, kills all of his sons and all of his daughters. Satan smites Job with sore boils. He smites Job from the head to his feet. And Job, now his health is gone. But let me say, Job did not break that hedge down. God allowed that hedge to be breached. He allowed Satan to come through. Job didn't break it down. Job didn't tear it apart. Job didn't sin. God allowed Satan to come against Job. Let me say tonight, if God allows the hedge to be breached on his part, it'll be for his good and for his glory, his purpose, his plan. Yet, if it's breached on his part, we, the sheep, will be protected, will be overshadowed, will be cared for, and it ought to thrill our hearts tonight knowing that Satan needs God's permission to touch one of his children. If this hedge is going to be torn down, if this hedge is going to be breached in any way, it'll be because God allowed it or you and I have tore it down. You know, tonight I'm not so much concerned about the former. What scares me to death is when you and I, some of us tonight, we may get bit, we may be devoured because we ourselves have chose to break down, to tear down, to breach the hedge. I think it's safe to say tonight, we'll never have to worry about breaking apart the hedge, tearing it down this hedge, if we never get close to it. There's some boundaries we need to stay away from. There's some places we just don't need to go, and there's some things we just don't need to do, or perhaps some things we don't need to listen to. And if we'll stay away from them boundaries, if we'll stay away from that hedge, we'll never have to worry about breaking it down. Begin to think about Samson. Oh, Samson had a hedge about him. He had a mighty hedge about him. He was an ordinary man, but because of the hand of God and this hedge that was around Samson's life, Samson was able to accomplish supernatural and mighty, mighty miracles. But you know the story about Samson. He skirted around that hedge. He lurked around that hedge. He got too close to the hedge. He began to take it down. He walked and he lived on that boundary and the borders that God had for him. And before you knew it, he was taking rock after rock after rock off the hedge. Then he finds himself a prisoner of the enemy, there grinding at the mill like an ordinary slave. Samson broke down the hedge that God put around him. Don't break down the hedge tonight. Let's not tear down the fence that God has hedged us in. God let Satan breach the hedge in Job's life. Satan, he troubled Job. He pained Job. He was there and he was disrupting Job. Yet God blessed Job. He prospered Job and he gave Job double for his trouble because of what Satan was doing to him in his life. Samson, yet he slowly, methodically, over a period of time, tore down his hedge and died an early death because of it. It's not only our duty tonight not to tear down this hedge, but let me say it's our duty to ask others to come in. Our pastor, he preached about it this morning. I was thinking as he's preaching, it's called soul winning. Something you don't hear preached about much anymore. Witnessing, telling others about what Christ did for you, how Jesus Christ saved your soul, and if he saved you, he no doubt can save them. Listen to what Luke 14:23 says. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be filled. Every one of us tonight, if we're saved and born again and redeemed and believe and know and can testify about what the choir was singing tonight, we ought to have a compelling force in our life, a compelling force in this church to go out and ask people, to tell people, to persuade people, to ask people to come and dine for Jesus Christ and Him alone. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. My question tonight, not being nosy, not being mean, but how many people this past week have you invited to church? How many people have you invited to Jesus Christ? How many people did you tell that Jesus loves them? Go out into the highway and hedges and compel them to come in. We ought to rejoice tonight. And it thrills my soul as we read this verse. It seems negative. Whosoever breaketh a hedge, a serpent shall bite him. But we ought to know by reading this, there's a holy God in heaven. Our Savior Jesus Christ has you and I, the redeemed, the saved, hedged in, covered, overshadowed, protected inside this house. What security, what safety, what confidence that ought to give you and I tonight. We're hedged in tonight, and I thank Him for that. But we must be careful by the things we do, the places we go, or the things that we don't do that God's asked us to do, that we don't tear down this hedge. How are we hedged in? Three things, and I'll be done. Number one, we're hedged in by the blood. The blood. The blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The Lamb of God, the Son that came to take away the sins of the world. In Egypt, before they had that great Exodus, the Lord had told them to take the blood of a lamb and to strike the blood on the doorpost and on the lintel. Before when the Lord would pass by, it wasn't a death angel, but the Lord, a picture of judgment, would pass by. He would pass over them. That picture hedged them in. Everyone inside that house was safe. Everyone in that side of the house, when the enemy come, death wouldn't come in, wouldn't go in, because the blood was there hedging them in. Hedged by the blood. Let me say that blood still hedges today. The blood that washes all our sins away. The blood that gives life everlasting. The blood that redeems. The blood that quickens. I can testify to the fact tonight that the blood not only saves, not only redeems and washes sin away, but the blood of Jesus will hedge one in. The blood hedges in. They tell me our body's largest organ is our skin. Our skin's there to protect our body from outside elements, from the sun, from foreign objects, from things that get in that's not supposed to be there, bacteria and dirt. But if they get through your skin, something that's not supposed to be there, an enemy of your body, your blood, thank God, will come to your defense. Your blood will carry white blood cells. Those white blood cells will surround the enemy. Those white blood cells will attack that enemy. Those white blood cells will neutralize that enemy. They'll stop that enemy, that foreign object that's come against your body to kill you. Let me say tonight, the blood of Jesus Christ, He has stopped the enemy, He stopped Satan, He stopped death, and He hedges us in for life evermore. Satan, that old serpent, which is the devil. John the Revelator calls him the accuser. He said the accuser is making railing accusations against God. I don't understand it. Day and night, he's accusing us for what we've done this week, for what we've said, for the things that we've done that was displeasing. He's accusing us to God himself. John talks about this accuser. But let me say tonight, thank God for the blood that hedges us in. Revelation 12:10. For the accuser of the brethren is cast down, which accused them before God day and night, and they overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Tonight we'd be hopeless, we'd be helpless, we would be lost and undone, but thank God for the blood that hedges us in. Hedged by the blood. Number two, let me say we're hedged by this Bible. Preacher Roy talked about it this morning, talking about understanding the Word of God. I believe he said he didn't understand all that's in this book, but he believes all that's in this book. It's God's Word. I've heard a preacher say one time that God didn't give this book, the Bible, for our minds that we could understand it, but he said he gave it to us, to our hearts, so we could trust it and believe it. I don't think David said, "Thy word have I hid in my mind." Oh no. David said, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." It'll hedge us from sin. This book, it can and it will hedge us in. I began to think about the preaching of this book. It'll hedge us in. Why do we focus here at Fletcher on and prioritize on the preaching of God's Word? This Word, if it's rightly divided, this Word, if it's correctly instructed, it will keep us from tearing down the hedge that God has on our life. Thank God for preachers. Thank God for the preachers here that just doesn't tell the congregation what they want to hear, even though it may rub them wrong, even though they may be hard to swallow, but they tell them and declare, "Thus saith the Word of God." How are we going to be sanctified? How are we going to stay away from that boundary? How are we going to stay away from the inside of that hedge that keeps us from tearing it down? Ephesians 5:26, that he may sanctify and cleanse thee with the washing of the water. How? By the Word. The Word of God. If we listen, if we're not only sin tonight, Paul told that church at Thessalonica, "Finally, brethren, pray for us." Paul, he was concerned. He was wanting one thing. He was wanting the church of the redeemed, to pray for him. He said to pray for us. Why, Paul? That the word of the Lord might have free course and be glorified, even it is with you. Is this word tonight, does it have, are you letting it have free course in your life? If so, it'll hedge you in. It'll keep you in. It'll secure you in. Hedged by the blood, hedged by the Bible. Number three, and I'm done. Hedged by the brethren. You know, there's something special about the fellowship amongst God's people. About the union, the coming together of the true church. Do you know, it's the brethren coming to church. When we assemble ourselves together, that'll keep us from wavering. That helps us love one another. And it shows us how to do good works. Listen to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. Let us hold fast our profession, that's our salvation, of our faith without wavering. For he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to do good works. Here it is. Forsaking not the assembly of ourselves together as the manner of some is. Paul's telling us if we want to come together as a group of believers, we do that and it's helping one of us, another, learn how not to waver, learn how to love, and learn how to do good works. Let me say tonight, what a service. Oh, how different of a service that we would have if we all came to church, thankful to be to church, thankful to come to church as Miss Marion Riddle did this morning. What a thrill. The anticipation she had, the desire she had, the delight she had just being able to assemble herself together in the house of God. We come to the house of God among the brethren with thanksgiving and with praise. I'm thankful for the brothers and sisters in Christ that come to this church, that pray for me, that's an example to me and my family, that love me and my family. Thank you because you're keeping us hedged in. Begin to think about coming to the house of God. As Miss Marion Riddle came this morning, thrilled my soul. You could tell she was so happy and delightful to be here. Begin to think about David. King David. He's seen the Ark of the Covenant coming back to Jerusalem. David, there amongst the many in the crowd, the Bible says he began to leap and dance before the Lord. His wife, Saul's daughter, Michal, she's there looking through the window, and she sees her husband, the king of all Israel, the glorious king, leaping, dancing, thanking, and praising God. She begins to mock him. She accuses him. And she says to him, or the Bible says of her, she despised him in her heart. David said, all I was doing was dancing and praising and worshiping the Lord God of heaven. He chose me. He made me ruler over all the people. How could I not? Let me say in that text, David, he was doing some holy praising. Yet Michal, because she despised David, because she mocked David, the Bible says the Lord shut her womb and she was barren until the day of her death. I wonder why God has not given the church many children. I'm not speaking of biological children, but I'm talking about children, babes, newborns in Christ Jesus. Maybe it's because when we come to the house of God, like David, unlike David, we're not doing some holy praising. Hedged in by the brethren, hedged in by the precious book, hedged in by the blood of the Lamb. Whosoever breaketh a hedge, a serpent shall bite him. Father, tonight, we thank you for this passage, this verse, this promise, this warning. Father, if we tear down the fence that you've put around us to keep us, to protect us, to guide us, Lord, there's a serpent, that old serpent, Satan, is there to divide and devour those that break down the hedge. Help us, Lord. Keep us, Lord. And I pray, Father, you would let this word of God have free course in our life to stay away from the boundaries, stay away from the things, Lord, that would keep us breaking down, tearing down the hedge you've hedged about. We love you and thank you, God, for the word of God, for all that you've done for us, for salvation, for the blood most of all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's all stand.